Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday class, first class, February 25th, 2024, Romans.
All right, a couple of things before we get started this morning. Early this morning, Don Lipchick, who affectionately I call him Captain Darling, he left his tent of his human body and is now face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And he is celebrating, and I'm really pissed off because he's drinking good wine up there. Not the stuff that Tim drinks over here. But he is now celebrating face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Don Lipchick was a winner believer. He glorified God to the maximum in his living. He glorified God in his dying. He is a winner. And now there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. He is face to face with his Savior, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And that is phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to joining him up there. And thing is, he'll be able to show me all around. But Don is the best. I encourage you all to remember Sue and the whole family in your prayers. That's first and foremost. Not the next thing is, doesn't hardly count, it's Chris Jones's birthday. No, it's important. Chris Jones' birthday was Friday, and if you take a look here, this is Chris Jones' legs. In his bell-bottom navy suit, see? So, happy birthday to Chris Jones on Friday. It's amazing God let you live this long. But anyway, he did. That's fantastic. All right. Well, we're starting a whole new chapter in Romans. I don't know. You guys won't be able to handle this probably. So if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the living and true God. We thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we finished Romans chapter 6, and that was the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit, unique to the dispensation we live in. We live in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. Church age will conclude with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. And this is the only dispensation in all of human history where we have the baptism of the Spirit. Every single believer in Jesus Christ from Pentecost to the rapture at the moment of their faith in Christ are baptized by God the Holy Spirit. They're identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth. They're identified with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session, seated at the right hand of God the Father, current positional truth. We are in union now with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And that makes us spiritual aristocracy, royal family of God. So we finished Romans 6 and the baptism of the Spirit. Now we're in Romans chapter 7. Now it's one thing for the believer to understand the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, to understand retroactive positional truth that we were identified with Christ in His death and burial, and current positional truth that we are identified with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords through current positional truth. At that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment of salvation, the believer has died to the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, as the ruler of human life, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler of his life, current positional truth. But it is something else for the believer to deal with the sin nature that remains in within him, in his body. And its efforts, the sin nature's efforts to express itself through temptations with regard to our thoughts and our actions. This is the internal conflict in the area of sanctification that every church age believer faces. Yes, we were identified with Christ in His death and burial, and that means the old sin nature no longer is the authority over us. But He's still living. He's living in our body, and He still has these lust patterns, and He still sends up temptations to your soul, and He still tries to get you to turn your life over to Him. But we also have, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in our body. And now there is a war going on inside of us between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit, and that is the great internal conflict that every church age believer faces. And that's what Romans chapter 7 is dealing with. So this is going to be a great chapter. So by way of introduction, one, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul illustrates by analogy what he taught in Romans chapter 6. So in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is now illustrating by analogy what he taught in Romans chapter 6. Two, in Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth and current positional truth. In Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. Three, now in Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to illustrate this through the battle of the two husbands. The battle of the two husbands, that's chapter 7. Point four, the first marriage goes from our physical birth to salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So the battle of the two husbands, we have the first marriage and the second marriage. In the first marriage, that occurred at the moment of our physical birth. We came into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. We have the a genetically formed old sin nature and Adam's original sin imputed to that sin nature. That's spiritual death. So we come into the world physically alive, spiritually dead, and we have a husband. The husband in the first marriage is the sin nature. The wife of the first marriage is every member of the human race as an unbeliever. And the marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic Law. So the first marriage began at physical birth and continues until salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. The husband is the sin nature, the wife is the unbeliever, the marriage counselor is the Mosaic Law. Point five, the second marriage. The second marriage begins at spiritual birth, the new birth, salvation, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, and continues from that point on forever and ever and ever. So the second marriage begins at spiritual birth, the new birth, regeneration, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. The husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife is the believer. And the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. So the second marriage begins at spiritual birth, the new birth of regeneration, salvation by faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the groom, and we, the royal family of God, we are the bride of Christ. So the husband is Jesus Christ, the wife is the believer, and the marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit. Six. The key illustration is going to be given in Romans chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. I'll give you previews of coming attractions. Romans 7, 2 through 4. We might finish the exegesis of this by next year. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. Romans 7, verse 2. For the married woman, the wife, under the authority of her husband, it's the interesting word here, when we get to verse 2, hupandros. hupa, preposition hupa, under, andros. Your husband is an oner, a noble man. All of you wives, you're married to a husband and he is an oner, the noble man. You are so blessed to be married to that noble man, that honorable man. I've already practiced on Debbie on this one, see? For the married woman, the wife hupandros, under the authority of her husband, is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if the husband has died, and in the Mosaic law, legitimate divorce was death. Legitimate divorce was death, and you have the right to remarry. If the husband dies, you have the right to remarry. If it is a legitimate divorce, that was considered death, and you have the right to remarry. Well, that's what has happened here. At the moment of our faith in Christ, we are identified with Christ in his death and burial, and that is, we're no longer under the old sin nature, is no longer our authority, but he's still around. He's still in our body. There's been a legitimate divorce. That's retroactive positional truth. She is released by the law from the husband, the first husband, the sin nature. Retroactive positional truth. Well, this is going to go on and be developed throughout this paragraph. But again, the key illustration is given in Romans 7, 2 through 4. 7. In the Mosaic law, legitimate divorce means death. And therefore, the death of the first husband, the sin nature, is really divorce. Because he's still hanging around. He's still in our body with his lust patterns. He's still trying to gain control of your life. So in the Mosaic law, legitimate divorce means death. And therefore, death, the death of the first husband, the sin nature, is really divorce. 8. That means the ex-husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive. He's residing in your body. The sarx. Why the sin nature is called the sarx? He resides in the sarx, or the flesh. So that means the ex-husband, the sin nature, is still very much alive. He's still residing in your body. 9. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying. He keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation. And that comes from these temptations. The sin nature is made up of all these lust patterns. And from these lust patterns of the sin nature comes all these temptations. And the sin nature keeps sending up temptations to the guardian of your soul. And we all have a guardian of our soul. It's what God has given us. God has given us a volition. God has given all of us a free will, a volition. And so when the sin nature sends up from the lust patterns to temptation to sin, you have a guardian, your volition, your free will. And all you have to do is say no. Maybe one of the greatest words in the English language, N-O, no. Another great word in the English language, K-N-O-W, no. No Bible doctrine, no the Word of God. So there's two great no's. Say no to the temptation from the lust patterns of your sin nature, and And then coming to know what God has put in His Word for all of us. You see, God has revealed Himself to us. He's revealed Himself to us through His eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He sent from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. And why did the Father send the Son? To go to a cross. He sent Him. He was born to die. He was born to go to a cross. And on that cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Jesus Christ, and judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin by His work on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. So you have this fantastic guardian of your soul, of volition. The sin nature is going to keep sending up temptations from the lust pattern. All you have to say is no. However, if you use your free will to say yes to the temptation and sin, you lose fellowship with God. Now you're what the Bible calls sarkinos believer, a carnal believer. You're out of fellowship with God. You are now living in the cosmic system. And so now God has graciously given to us a problem-solving device that we call rebound. And it's all based on what Christ did on the cross, because Christ on the cross not only solved all the sins that we commit on this side as an unbeliever, but also all the sins we commit on this side of the cross as a believer. All the sins of the world were poured out on Christ and judged by God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the issue of eternal salvation is simple faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's why when you sin after salvation, you get back into fellowship with God through the problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All our sins, all the sins we committed on this side of the cross, all the sins we committed on this side of the cross, they were all judged on the cross. And that's why, by simply utilizing God's grace provision, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because they've already been paid for in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. So, point 9 again. The ex-husband, the sin nature, keeps on trying to become the authority of your life after salvation through temptations from the lust patterns of the sin nature. 10. The first husband, the old sin nature, the husband that was our husband from physical birth to salvation, he is now in a state of divorce from the believer in Jesus Christ. But he is still trying to get back as the authority. This is Romans chapter 7. The great inner conflict that's going on inside of each one of us as church age believers between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. So the first husband, the sin nature, is in a state of divorce from the believer, the one who has placed his faith in Christ, but he is still trying to get back as the authority. 11. This creates a great internal conflict in the life of the church age believer. We all have a war going on inside of us as a believer in Jesus Christ in the church age between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, the start of verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust patterns, the lusts of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. There's a war going on inside of each one of us as church age believers, church age saints. The first husband, we've been divorced from the sin nature. He's no longer the authority. Jesus Christ is now the authority. But he's still residing in our body. God the Holy Spirit indwells our body. And when you are in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, you're living your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You are living the spiritual life that God has for you in the church age. You're honoring God, you're glorifying God. And you have a free will. You got a free will. You're free to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life by the be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled and empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That word filled is pleroo in the Greek. It was used of a ship that was going through the water, and they had sails in that time. The wind would fill the sails, and that word for filling the sails and empowering the ship through the water was pleroo. That's what we are given in Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit is keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. And then Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit. So this spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit, given to us. You have a free will. I had a doctor's appointment last Friday. And my cardiologist is a believer in Jesus Christ. And we spend more time talking about what's going on in America than he does about my health. I haven't said anything like, don't you give a damn about my health? I mean, you know, my heart. He said, don't worry, you don't have a heart. I know a lot of people say, a lot of people say I don't have a heart. Now I got a cardiologist that confirms it. Say. I also went and had checked out, did an MRI to see how my brain was doing. And they said, well, guess what? You don't have a brain either. So, you know. Actually, they didn't say that. They said, your brain is so small, it looks like a BB in a boxcar. That's what it looks like. And Doc said, Pastor Olson, he said, I was listening to this fellow, and he's always searching for truth, and he was teaching about the Bible, and he said, we are going to be living in times when people will turn away from the truth. They'll turn away from the God-breathed Scripture. Well, he didn't say God-breathed Scripture. The Word of God. And they will seek their own teachers. They have itching ears. People will say things that they want to hear. They will go to great lengths to find people who will tell them what they want to hear. I said, Doc, that's where we're living right now. That's where we're living right now. But I'll tell you something, Doc. Every member of the human race has been given a volition by God. They all have a free will. And that means we're free to succeed and we're free to fail. Every one of you, you're free to make good decisions for God and the Word of God, but you are also free to make bad decisions. We all are free, free to succeed, free to become winners, and free to fail, free to become losers. You are the product of your own decision. Don't go blaming anybody else. You can't blame anybody else. You can't even, well, you can blame Pastor Olson. That's okay, you can blame him. I got big shoulders. Lousy knees, but I got big shoulders. You can't blame anybody else. You're the product of your own decisions. It's nobody else's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. Not because your mother dropped you on your head when you were a baby. And not any of those things. You have a free will. I told that to Doc. And he looked at me like it was a great truth. He goes, that's it. That's it. They have, people have a freedom, free will. I said, yeah. They're free to succeed, free to fail. They're free to become winners. They're free to become losers. But if they use their freedom to become losers, one thing about God, we know He is a holy God. He is a holy God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And He will deal with us. He will deal with us. That's called divine discipline. Starts out with self-induced misery, and then it goes to warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. But we bring it on ourselves. But God is holy. So point 11, this creates the great internal conflict in the life of the believer described in Galatians 5, 16, and 17. Now that's what Romans Chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is going to illustrate this by analogy. All right, outline of Romans chapter 7. First of all, well, Roman numeral number 1. The two marriages, Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Roman numeral number 2. The Mosaic Law as a marriage counselor. Romans 7, 7 to 14. Roman numeral number 3. The attacks of the first husband, the sin nature. Romans 7, 15 to 21. And Roman numeral number 4. The great internal conflict. Romans 7, 22 to 25. Okay, chapter 7's over. We'll start chapter 8. I'm glad to see you're in such a great mood this morning. All right, the two marriages, Romans 7, 1 through 6. The two marriages, Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, This is the disjunctive particle eta plus the present active indicative of agnoeo plus the vocative plural of adelphos. Eta looks like this. That's long E. It occurs in interrogative sentences to introduce and to add rhetorical questions. It's correctly translated or. And it takes us back to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14 says, "For the sin nature shall not be Lord and ruler over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Romans 6, 14. So eta takes us back to Romans 6, 14. And then the verb agnoeo. A-G-N-O-E, long O. Agnoeo. All right, point one. Agnoeo is a compound verb. It's made up of the alpha privative. The alpha privative negates. It means no or not. And then we have noeo, and noeo is the verb to know. So, two, literally, agnoeo means you don't know something. It literally means you don't know something. Three, agnoeo means to be ignorant. Now, my mother had she had a great vocabulary. She came out of the southern Missouri, so they always had great vocabulary in southern Missouri, and we would be ourselves. We'd be ourselves and be talking, and then my mother would say, she'd look at me and my brother Don, my brother Mike. Never looked at my sister Judy. She was always perfect. But looked around. She goes, you guys are all, you're ignoramuses. Now, I thought she was calling us dinosaurs. I figured an ignoramus must be a dinosaur. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, this agnoeo means to be ignorant. Four, many of these believers are ignorant of the Word of God. Sad to say, but that characterizes a lot of people in America today, a lot of Christians in America. They have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They have the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. They're going to live with God forever in heaven. But you know what? They have a real problem. They don't know what the Word of God says. They don't know the absolute truth of the Word of God. God has given us His Word so that we can know truth, believe truth, live our life by truth. But so many Christians today are agnoeo. They're ignorant of the truth of the Word of God. Five, ignorance of the Word of God is the most serious problem in Christianity today. Ignorance of the Word of God is the most serious problem in Christianity today. And it's also one, sadly to say, it's one of the greatest problems in America. Most believers are ignorant of the Word of God. Six, a lot of the believers to whom Paul is writing in Romans are ignorant of the Word of God. 7. So, in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, Paul is giving them a challenge. He's saying, you need to consistently and faithfully learn God's word. You need to learn it, believe it, apply it to your life. You're ignorant of truths that you should know. So you need to consistently and faithfully learn and believe and apply the truth of the Word of God to your life. God hasn't left us out in the so we don't know what's going on. He's given us His Word. He's given us the God-breathed Scripture so that we can know exactly who and what God is, His essence, His plan, His will, His purpose. 8, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine solves the problem of ignorance. It solves the problem of ignorance. The vocative plural of the noun adelphos is the vocative of address. Adelphos, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. This is a literally translated brother. It's in the plural, brothers or brethren. And it's a technical term in the New Testament for the royal family of God, church age saints. So the corrected translation, or are you ignorant, brethren? Or are you ignorant, royal family of God? Now in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul is going to illustrate what he taught in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, the emphasis was placed on the baptism of the Spirit. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death and burial. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. We are in union now with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. But now, in Romans chapter 7, the emphasis is on the battle of the two husbands. The emphasis is on the battle of the two husbands. And that's where we're going to take a break, give you a chance to stretch your legs. There's probably refreshments out there. Enjoy, and in a few minutes we'll have part 2.